Good morning, church family. I'm going to put this up here because this is the closest thing we have to a hill. How's that? Everybody can see that? You know, Sharon, you're not the only one that can't find her glasses. I don't know how they must have wings. I had them right there and I'm sitting there. They're not on my head. I've looked in every pocket. Oh, there they are, way down deep in that pocket. Okay, thanks, dear, for the glasses. Isn't that terrible? Isn't it a beautiful Sabbath today? Oh, man, I'll tell you, it was wonderful to break into the San Diego area and see the blue sky, because on the way down, we had a lot of rain. In fact, it was the hardest rain that I've ever experienced on the trip down here. It was coming down so hard, you literally could not see the car in front of you. And we're just driving along at high speed, you know the Autobahn, 215. And all of a sudden, as we come up out of Temecula, there's this wall. And a lot of people didn't realize what that wall was. And it was rain coming down so hard, and it was flooding the freeway. And I backed way off and turned on my emergency lights. We backed clear down to about 35 miles an hour. But a few people thought, oh, I'm four-wheel drive. I can go right on through this. And about 2 miles down the road, they were in the ditch. So, you know, the angels were busy this morning. And it's good to be here. It's good to be worshiping together this morning. Well, you know where we're at. We're in chapter 5 of the book of Matthew. And I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, to chapter 5. Last week we talked about the concept of blessedness. Blessedness is the atmosphere of the kingdom of heaven. You ever looked at it that way? It's how we as members, as parts of the body of Christ, as part of the kingdom of heaven, it's how we relate to one another. And Jesus is trying to share the values, the attributes, the essence, the ambiance of the kingdom of heaven in the Beatitudes. But he doesn't stop there, because he goes on. He goes on from there. And so as we continue, we recognize that kingdomness is about belonging. It's about relationships. It's about connectedness. It's about pitching your tent on God's property. It's pitching your tent in God's kingdom. And when we enter the atmosphere of the kingdom, we find that it is charged with blessedness. Now, isn't that a place you want to be? There's a lot of other places that we can think of that we would like to be on a Sabbath. But I tell you, I think really this is the place to be. In the kingdom. The spiritual kingdom. The body of Christ. Jesus is the head. We are the body. It's a wonderful place to be. People in a place where there's blessedness, where there's harmony, the qualities of the kingdom of heaven. I'll just review briefly that Jesus spoke here in chapter 5 at the very beginning, and he shared with those people on the hillside some of the qualities of the kingdom. And in the kingdom, people sympathize with one another. They sympathize with the suffering of their Lord Jesus Christ. They hunger for righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. They're merciful and gracious to one another. Why do we have a ring? They are pure and transparent. They are peaceful. And yes, they are persecuted for being a part of the kingdom. But they live the blessed life. We are living in the kingdom. It's a place of privilege. It's a place of joy. In 1 Peter, if you want to turn, keep your finger in Matthew. In 1 Peter, the second chapter, beginning with verse 9, I want to share something with you. Peter, obviously, after some time, realized the importance and the values of what Jesus was talking about. And so he shares them in this passage of Scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are chosen people. Listen to this. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Listen to that. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you are not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Wow, that's good news. That's what it means to be living in the kingdom, in the here and now. And Peter understood that, and he shares that with the people in Asia Minor, the church in Asia Minor that he's writing this to. All who are blessed then, all who are blessed are called to a sacred responsibility. If you're part of the blessed, if you're part of the kingdom this morning, God is calling you to a sacred responsibility. You see, the focus of God's kingdom and God's activity here on this world is to the unsaved. Is that a shock to you this morning? You know, it's easy for us to think that God's total focus on this earth is His church. Oh, yes. Do I need to step back a little bit? Can you hear that ringing? Okay, I'll step back. How's that? Is that better? Okay. The focus of God on this earth is to save the unsaved, is to bring into the kingdom those who need to hear the good news of salvation. That's really what it's all about. Once you are part of the kingdom of heaven, then we are called as individuals and as a collective group to share the good news of salvation. We have a sacred responsibility. I'm reminded that we often spend far too much time on church matters. I was reminded of this last week. I went to talk with some of the brethren, and we had a good talk. And one of the things that we talked about is how much time and energy and money we spend on the church. Is it an equal amount that we spend on sharing the gospel in the world around us? It's so easy for us to get caught up in mending the fences, making sure that the walls are painted, making sure that everything is taken care of, that we forget that God has called us to be the salt of the earth. That is the primary focus of God's kingdom, to be sharing the good news of salvation. Our responsibility as kingdom people is to unite with the Master in inviting our friends, our associates, people that we come in contact, to come and to be part of the kingdom. Or as Tony Campala would say, to come and be part of the party. Because really the kingdom of heaven needs to be a party, doesn't it? It needs to be a celebration of our salvation that even the angels do not understand. Now think about that for a minute. You know, the angels have been standing by and watching this and been interacting with us for over 7,000 years. They have seen the beginning of the controversy. They have seen everything that has taken place for the last 7,000 years here on this earth. But they do not fully comprehend or understand salvation. Only you and I understand what that's all about. For angels have never felt the joy that our salvation brings. That's a song, by the way, some of you might even remember. They do not understand. Oh, they intellectually understand. They understand that their leader, Jesus Christ, came to this earth as a babe, and He died on a cross and rose again so that you and I might have eternal life. Oh, they intellectually understand that, but they cannot comprehend or understand fully the joy that comes in our hearts when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That's going to be fun to share that with our guardian angel someday. Won't that be great? Up there in heaven, first thing your guardian angel says, come here. Sit down. Tell me how you felt. Tell me what it was like to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. I don't know what it was like. But you tell me. Give me a testimony. You know, that's really what Jesus is saying here in verses 13 through 16. When he says that you are the salt of the earth, what Jesus is saying is, you have the opportunity, you have the privilege to flavor the world around you. To flavor it with the good news of the gospel. To spread it. To spread it out in the community. To share it with your neighbor. To share it with the person that you sit next to at work. To share it with just anybody on the street. After all, that's what it's all about. The joy of our salvation is the fact that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And boy, let me tell you folks, if you don't understand how that affects your life, you need to sit and just meditate and pray then and ask God to reveal to you how far Jesus came so that you might have eternal life, and how far he was willing to go so that you could have eternal life. It's heavy. It's not something you can comprehend intellectually. It's not something you can figure out. It's something that we accept by faith. And as we accept it by faith, it impacts our lives. It prioritizes our lives. It gives us a new purpose. Let's talk about salt for just a minute. First of all, we know that salt has many qualities and it can be used. And throughout history, salt has been a very important commodity. It preserves. For thousands and thousands of years, and even today, salt is used as a preservative. When you go down to the fishing villages in Korea, when I was a kid, I remember they had boxes, these wooden boxes, and the fishermen would come in, and the first thing that they would lay down was a layer of salt, and then they would lay down a bunch of fish, and they would lay another layer of salt, more fish, and more salt, so that it would preserve those fish so they could take them hundreds and hundreds of miles away to the marketplace, and they would still be fresh. So salt is a preservative. We also know that salt flavors. I took one of my wife's cookbooks the other day, and I just kind of flipped through all the recipes. And you know what I discovered? Every single recipe, at least the ones that I looked at, had salt. Even some of the desserts. Excuse me? It reminded me one time we were hanging out at a friend's house, and his sister, and this is when we were in grade school, and his sister was younger, and she was just learning to cook, and her mother had taught her how to make chocolate chip cookies. And she was so proud of what she could do, you know. She was, actually, I think she was trying to impress me. But anyway, she was going to make some chocolate chip cookies for us guys, okay? So we're over there playing, and we're outside, and we're having a great time. And pretty soon we smelled, that smells good, you know, chocolate chip cookies. So we all headed indoors, and she was so proud of herself, and she had this big plate of chocolate chip cookies. And so we went over there, and it was still steaming. You know how it is when it comes right out of the oven? And I grabbed one of those big chocolate chip cookies, and I stuffed it in my mouth, and I bit down, and oh, it was, oh, man, I was coughing and spitting and, oh, you know, getting water. She had put salt in instead of sugar. And, of course, when you went into the kitchen, we could see why. There were two Tupperwares there, side by side, and somehow the lids, they had writing on the top. One said sugar, one said salt, and they had been switched somehow. And so she had put an awful lot of salt. Now, you say, well, wait a minute. Didn't the chocolate chips, didn't they kind of cover the salt taste? Not really. No amount of chocolate chips would have made those cookies taste good. It was bad scene, man. And we felt so bad because here she'd spent so much time. She was crying. She ran off and told her mom, you know. Ye are the salt of the earth. Salt is necessary to flavor food. Without salt, food usually tastes pretty bland. But too much salt is just the opposite. It makes things taste really nasty. So flavoring is one of the things that we use salt for. By the way, salt is also used in the medical field. Salt is very important for the function of your body. I'm not a person that knows a whole lot about the human anatomy or physiology. I'm not that, so I had to ask my wife, explain to me, why do you use the saline solutions? Why is salt important in our diet? And she explained to me that sodium, and I'm going to have to read this, excuse me, because like I said, sodium is an essential mineral. Without it, the body's nerves and muscles would cease to function. You got it? Okay. Sodium helps to maintain the body's water balance. So not enough salt, and you wither up and die. Too much salt, and guess what? You can get sick. And you can have all kinds of problems if you get too much salt. But I still love barbecue potato chips. Right? I love potato chips. I love salty things. Forget the ice cream. Oh, by the way, it takes salt to make ice cream. Some of you are going, yeah, we, and others are going, what? You sick. Don't you remember the days when we had that wooden container that we filled with ice, and then we sprinkled salt, layers and layers of salt, and in the middle was this stainless steel container, and we cranked it and cranked it and cranked it and cranked it and kept testing it to see if it was hard enough, and eventually we had hard ice cream. The salt helped make the ice cream turn cold. I know some of you are saying, you know, the computer, all you computer people, a generation, they've never had homemade. How many of you have had a homemade ice cream? Okay, well, I'm wrong. You all have had it. Okay, so you understand what I'm talking about, all right? It takes, it's necessary. You need salt. And so historically also, salt has been important. It was used at times in the Roman Empire as currency. People who were wealthy had in huge warehouses full of salt. And their wealth was measured by how much salt they had. And they would go in and they would take some of that salt and they would sell it on the marketplace just like we do gold today. And they would get some money, become wealthy. In some countries, salt is a very, very precious commodity. People will go to great lengths to have just a little bit of salt. Salt can be taken out of the ocean. Salt can be mined out of the mountainsides. Salt can be scraped off the top of the ground in one of our states. Salt flats, you ever been there? You can drive on top of it. In fact, they race cars on top of the salt flats because it's nice and smooth and it's a nice hard surface. So the Greeks, they believed that salt was actually one of the gifts from the gods. So you understand, when Jesus was telling this story, when Jesus said that you are the salt of the earth, he was taking all of these things and speaking of salt, he was basically identifying with something that the people that sat around him understood well. But spiritually speaking, that's what Jesus is using this story. You are the salt of the earth. He's talking about our response. He's talking about our responsibility. He's talking about our interaction with the world around us. What Jesus is saying here is the Christian task is to be the salt of society. God has placed us in society so that we can preserve heavenly values. You say, well, the world's not exactly full of those things. And yet here in America it is. Our Constitution is written by men who in their minds had this idea of a good, healthy environment, a good, healthy nation. A nation that somehow mirrored the values of the kingdom of heaven.
And in years after that, many of the people who ran for office of president used biblical concepts and biblical terms. They even talked about the kingdom of heaven. They talked about ushering in the kingdom of heaven here in America. So we know that in our society, in our culture here in America, there is an emphasis on having a healthy environment, building a nation that is under God, a nation that believes in the values that are taught in the Bible and the Word of God. And there's great discussion today about whether we need the Bible anymore, whether we need God anymore. We can just keep on building a perfect nation. We can continue to build a democratic nation without talking about Christian values, without talking about God. We don't need Him anymore. We've moved beyond that. We're independent now. We're good, healthy people now. And I wish. God has placed us in society to preserve values, heavenly values. God has placed us in society to flavor the culture. To flavor the culture with heavenly flavor. You say, well, what would that be? Oh, come on. Jesus made a whole list there in the first part of his sermon. A culture that is gracious. Learn to be gracious. Treat one another graciously. Treat one another lovingly. Create a culture that is a culture built on hope for the future. Hope because the kingdom of heaven is a place of grace, a place of love, a place of kindness, of mercy. Jesus also talked about being peaceful. We can learn to value and to teach our children, our young people, the importance of being peaceful with one another. The importance of being merciful. The importance of seeking after righteousness. Those are all values that are part of being in the kingdom of heaven. Those are things that we can flavor the world around us with. Jesus also intended that we contribute to the culture around us. In the world that we live in, there is one thing that we can be a positive influence in, and that is in family life. Our families are so broken today. We don't have to look very far to see the sadness and the brokenness and children and young people that are being brought up in families where there is so much pain and so much suffering. As I was thinking about that, as I was thinking about what it is that we as Christians can contribute, how can we salt the community around us, I was reminded that God has already put us on a course. He already has a plan for us at Point Loma to become the salt of Point Loma, and that is through our childcare, our preschool. How best can we influence? How best can we reach the lives of the young people, the children, and the families in this community? How much better than providing an experience, providing an environment, a place where the children can come and they're safe and they're loved and they're taught and they're respected and they're appreciated. You know, they say, give us your children to the age of 7. Think about that for a minute. In a few months, we'll have probably maybe 40 or 50. Somewhere between 30 and 50 little kids under the age of 7 walking around our campus here, playing in our backyard here, enjoying the peace and the safety and the tranquility of God's kingdom. This is God's piece of property, isn't it? Isn't this God's real estate? And we've dedicated it to God. We've asked Him to show us what we can do with His real estate, and this is what He has led us to do. And praise God, Marty. Not too long now, huh? Just a few months. Be patient. God's doing His work here. We can contribute. We can contribute through educating our young people. We can contribute through educating our older people. And that is what we do here on Sabbath morning. We come here and we study God's Word. We are educated by God's Word. We are led by the Holy Spirit. Another way that we can contribute to our culture is by bringing justice. by encouraging justice, by encouraging honesty. And of course, all of us have the opportunity to vote. I don't get into politics. All of us have the opportunity to select leaders, both in our city, in our state, and in our country, men and women who believe in following God's plan and God's will. We all have that opportunity. So God wants us to preserve the heavenly values. He wants us to flavor the world around us with grace and love and hope and peace and mercy and righteousness. He wants us to contribute to the family lives of this community. He wants us to show justice and to teach and select people who have the values that we value. When the church becomes more concerned with defending its distinctives than the moral health of society, it has lost its flavor and its relevance. And I can tell you right now that I've studied enough history to know that when denominations, when churches become more intent on what's happening inside of their walls, and they become obsessed with defending their distinctives, and they forget what they're really here for, I guarantee you that eventually the doors of that church will be shut because it has lost its flavor. Jesus has called us to be the salt of the earth. And the Romans often, when they would store the salt in big buildings, big warehouses, sometimes the tiles on the roof would spring a leak and the rain would get in, and it would rain water on top of the salt, and the saltiness of that salt would wash down the street. And then they would go in there and they would see this, and they would take the salt out and they would taste it, and it had lost its flavor. It had lost the saltiness. And it was only good to be thrown out on the road to be used as pavement. And it was done. That's what happened. When Jesus said here in this passage that when it loses its flavor, it's what? It's of no use. I collect rocks. I like rock collecting, stones and beautiful gems. And haven't done much of it lately, but I have in my collection a big hunk of salt, about that big. It's rock salt. It's mined out of the earth. Great big thing. And I actually have a couple of those. And I had a smaller piece one time. And I don't know what happened over the years. It sat in the garage, but it may have absorbed moisture or whatever. But it didn't have as much salt. It didn't taste like salt, not as much as the other pieces. And I thought, there's an example. That salt can lose its flavor. And then it's only good to be thrown out, be trampled underfoot. So Jesus knew that, and when he was pointing that out to the people sitting on that hillside, they understood what he was talking about. Brothers and sisters, I believe that we should be at the very forefront of society. I believe that we should be leaders in the moral development of society. Doesn't mean we have to be out there marching around with placards. It doesn't mean that we have to be out shouting slogans. It doesn't mean that we have to march like an army through the streets. I believe that we set by our example those things that we cherish the most, those things that we value, those things that the kingdom of heaven are all about. We can contribute. We can encourage. We can flavor. We can educate. And I was reminded this week by one of my friends, another pastor, who we were talking about these very things, sharing these feelings that we have as pastors with one of our leaders in the conference office. And he made this statement: the biggest problem today in the religious world is communalism. Communalism. I said, what's that? What are you talking about? I kind of knew, but I wanted him to explain it even further. Communalism is when a church or an organization becomes more preoccupied with their own existence and more interested in their own sustaining their own existence than they are about the world around them. That's communalism. When your main focus is what's happening here and not what's happening out there, and you lose touch with what's happening out there, you lose your saltiness. You lose your flavor. And that's why Jesus called us to be the salt of the earth. But Jesus didn't stop with that. He said, you are the light of the world. A light, a city that is placed on a hillside, what? You can't hide a city on a hillside. You go out here at night in the bay and you look back at San Diego. Even if they turn all the lights off, you can still see San Diego. Because it's silhouetted against the sky, and the moon would be shining on it, and you would still be able to see San Diego. You can't hide a city that is built on a hill. I'd like to stretch that analogy to apply to us this morning. We are a church built on a hill. When the cellular people came along and they wanted to put up a cell tower, where did they go? To the place highest on the hill. And so we have a cell tower here, praise God, because we are on a hill and we are visible. The question is, what does the community know about us? What do they say about us? What do they perceive? What do they experience? Once again, I remind you, God has set us on a course to leave a footprint in this community through helping the children and the families of this community. So God calls us to be the torchbearers in a dark world. The light of the world. It's interesting, you know, the Bible, this concept of being the light is found throughout the scriptures. If you turn with me to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 58 reminds us of this theme. Isaiah 58, verse 48. No wonder I didn't recognize it. I get in a hurry here. Isaiah 58, verse 8. It's 58, verse 8. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your guide. God has called us to be part of the kingdom of heaven. Being a part of the kingdom of heaven is a very sacred calling. It's also a very sacred responsibility.